The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you're an unbeliever, the Creator has said regarding people who don't believe, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? You might like to think about that. If you're a believer, the Almighty has said, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. If you're a believer, I would really suggest you consider that. If you don't have a clear view of what the outcome will be of your life, then I sincerely hope you will find this program helpful. Tonight we're going to talk about the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, part two. And in that context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Overview of today's program. We're going to look at continue the discussion regarding proof of creation from the last program. We'll look at sexual reproduction. We'll draw the conclusion that there has to be a creator. We'll then look at what's in it for you if you believe, and what's in it for you if you don't believe. And the context to all of this is that a friend earnestly, intentionally, and actively seeks relationship and cares deeply for their friend. Can you say that of yourself right now? By way of introduction, who am I? My name is Dr. James Robertson. I'm a professional engineer by training, been a management consultant for over 25 years, and now an executive in a small software company. I've spent 25 years actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organization that I use for delivering my message by way of internet publishing, email lists, websites, this radio program, and we're now in the process of hoping to produce physical books within another month or so. What is this program? Called The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. The focus of this program is to help you to make a decision to draw close to Father and then to show you how to draw close to Him in a way that you will be rewarded at the end of your life. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. You can email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org if you want to contact me. Questions from last week's program. When did you turn to the Almighty and why? I've shared this once or twice before on this program, but it bears repeating. 25 years ago, my life was a mess. I'd been in an adulterous affair, seriously considering suicide, and the Almighty spoke to me audibly and told me to speak to a business associate of mine who was a believer, who led me back to relationship with the Father. I realized then that my life was a mess and that I would have gone straight to hell if I'd died at that point. And I turned around and decided to really clean my life up and get to know the being that had spoken to me. So that's been my journey for the last 25 years. Been a bit up and down, but generally I've managed to stay more or less on track. And I strongly recommend that to anybody listening today. What made a difference since you started the study? Well, to answer that in a couple of pieces, I don't regard this as a study. Yes, it is a study in the sense that I have gathered huge amounts of information. I've written over 1,000 articles, populated a large website, recorded considerable number of audio teachings, and so forth. I set out to get to know the Almighty and to know His truth because I realized that the teachings of men had led me into error. So what's made a difference is that I've come to know Him deeply and intimately. I've had innumerable supernatural experiences with Him. He speaks to me clearly. I speak to Him. He's an integral part of my life. And I wouldn't have it any other way, and I would commend that to anybody who's listening. Next question, how do we know if our actions will please the Almighty? Well, if you listen to this program and visit my website, you'll get a sense of what the things are that are pleasing to Him and those that are not pleasing. It's not that difficult. He's not actually massively demanding in the way that some people need to think. It's just clean up your life, obey the Ten Commandments, put Him first in your life, seek to get close to Him, worship Him, praise Him, talk to Him, involve Him in your life. It's no more complicated than that. Next question, how can we know if we are having a good relationship with Him while we are here? If you have a good relationship with Him, you will know. You will speak to Him. He will speak to you. If you become His friend, He will tell you. And you're not His friend until the day that He says to you, "You are my friend." He's our friend anytime, as soon as we get into some sort of relationship with Him, because that's the way He is. He wants to be friends with us. Getting to be a place where you are His friend, where He calls you friend, is about cleaning up your life, fighting a battle with the ways of the world, and coming to a place where you really are close to Him. Next question, how do we know if we're being guided correctly? It's a bit of the same as the previous two points. You'll know you're being guided correctly when you're hearing Him, when He's guiding you. Generally, you'll know if what you've done is the right thing or not. And if you get on your knees every night, as I do, and let Him speak to you and tell you how the day has gone, what His view is of the day, you can't go far wrong. Then a further point, coming from a previous broadcast by email, he says, "Is Satan not in the bottomless pit? How can he receive reporting from anyone while being locked up there?" Good question. I miscommunicated in that message. In actual fact, the control on earth today rests with 7 demonic masterminds. They used to report directly to Satan. When Satan was sent to the pit, they took charge on earth. And between those 7 masterminds, they rule on earth. And they will rule until Satan is released from the pit after 1,000 years. Coming to today's program, the Almighty Creator wants a deep personal relationship with you as His friend, and He wants to reward you in the life to come. Please note that. This is not about what you can get in this life. If you get close to Father, if you get filled with His Spirit, He will touch touch you. He will heal you. He will give you supernatural energy. He will give you supernatural wisdom. He will help you to prosper. He will help you in all sorts of ways. But that is not what you do it for. In the last century, there were massive moves of the Spirit, but they were all misdirected. They all got into what they could get from Father, not what they could give to Father. And in this context, he has said, I created human beings, this planet, and this universe for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. It's really sad. It fills me with grief at times. He's so lonely. He wants to be your friend. And you don't even know that he wants to be your friend, let alone making the effort. And if you are starting to make the effort, I commend you. Email me, get in touch with me, and I will help you in whatever way I can. Father goes on to say the rules of engagement between myself, that's Yah, and Satan prevent me telling you anything you do not know unless you ask me or do something to put yourself in a place to hear new information from me. If you listen to the program a few weeks ago on prayer, there's a whole lot of prayers there which are directed at putting you in a position where Father can speak to you about anything and everything. The Father goes on to say, I am limited in speaking to you by the mental barriers you have put in place with regard to what you believe I can say to you and by your vocabulary. So if you've never heard Hebrew words like Yah and Yeshua, you will battle to hear it if he tries to tell you that that's in fact his, if Yah is his correct name or that Yeshua is the correct name for the man that you probably know as Jesus. So that means you've got to be willing to turn to books, you've got to be willing to turn to websites, YouTube, TV, radio, wherever you can get the information you need to shift your position. And there's a lot on my website that will help you there. I want to stress a point that I made a moment ago. The purpose of serving Yah is not for what he will give us in this life, but for what we will give him in exchange for his rewards to us in the life to come. Are you willing to serve him and be faithful and to commit your life to serving him now in the expectation that you will be rewarded at the end of your life and the wisdom and the prosperity and the healing and all the rest of the benefits in this life are just an incidental bonus? It's not what you should be doing it for. Do it because you love him. Do it because you want to please him. Do it because you want him to win the contest. So in the last program, we started discussing evidence of creation. And we looked at the whole complexity of the universe, the solar system, planet Earth, the plants, the animals, human beings, as evidence of a creative agency. I want to take that further, and I want to suggest for your consideration that if you have doubts as to whether there is a creator, that sexual reproduction is categoric and comprehensive and conclusive evidence of the existence of a creator. You are the product of sexual reproduction. You quite possibly engage in sexual intercourse fairly regularly, and you quite possibly enjoy it. Every plant and animal on the planet that is of material sophistication reproduces sexually. There are male reproductive organs and female reproductive organs. There are male gametes or sperm, etc., and female gametes, ovums, etc. Without an interaction of varying complexity that involves intangible components, including attraction and other psychological elements, there is no coupling and therefore no reproduction, and therefore the species ceases to exist. As human beings, we find members of the opposite sex attractive at some level, sufficient to desire to have sex. We develop love, friendship, desire towards those we engage with. We feel fulfilled when our coupling results in pregnancy and more so when the child is born. Where did that come from? How did that happen in a random self-generating process from pieces of rock? Most plants require an independent agency such as a bee or wind for reproduction. Without that agency, there is no fertilization and therefore no reproduction, and again, the species would cease to exist. Please think carefully about these points. So we see that without sexual desire and reproduction, humans would cease to exist. It is vital to recognize that in each case, the reproductive process is very specific and precise and complex, and it must work fully for the species to continue in existence. Fundamentally, this requires a complex process that allows the DNA of the male to fuse with the DNA of the female to create the DNA of a whole child being that is an exact merge of the characteristics of both parents. And above all, the DNA has to exist and the DNA has to match and map together. Otherwise, no child comes into existence. None of this can develop in a random evolutionary manner. It requires that the male and female come into existence fully equipped to desire to breed, to be physically equipped to breed, to be genetically capable of producing an accurate and consistent replication of the parents' generation of the parents' generation after generation. This requires a highly intelligent creative agency, a creator, to bring these components into existence fully formed. So let's confront the resulting questions. There has to be a creator. Yes, what I've just said confronts us with the question, so where did this creator come from? But we face a form of this question either way. If you believe all of this stuff, you and me, the plants and animals, the planet, the solar system, the galaxies, the universe, all just happened over millions or billions of years in a self-energized manner with random generation of more and more complex entities, you are still faced with the question of where did all the raw materials come from? And you are faced with a level of intellectual sophistry, which I have to say constitutes an extreme level of faith in the ability of inanimate materials to self-invent themselves and self-invent life, and self-invent human beings with no engineering input, no designer, no manufacturer. It's actually really, really remarkable that anyone can actually believe that, to be honest. And I say that as one who used to believe that myself. But if you actually drill down into the reality of the created universe, or of the universe that exists, plants and the animals and sexual reproduction, etc., it becomes pretty much impossible, if you are intellectually honest with yourself, to suggest that there is no creative agency. So the bottom line is there a creator? Or did all of this just happen as a consequence of billions of unplanned, uncoordinated, random events that all came together to give us what we have today? This is much discussed in much more detail in my ebook, What is the Origin and Purpose of Man, which is available on the website behind the Creation tab. Notice that this creator says that he's always existed. His true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, not God, not the Lord, and not any other name. So Yah says he has always existed. Can I explain that? No. But I hold that it requires less faith to accept his existence than it takes to believe that inanimate materials self-assembled themselves to create you and I and then ceased creating. So we are left with a dilemma: to believe in a creator or to believe in intelligent inanimate materials. Frankly, I find the concept of a creator more readily acceptable. That is easy for me to say because I've detailed experience of existence over a period of over 24 years from the day he spoke to me audibly as clearly as I'm speaking to you now. My marriage was a mess. I was in a dead end. I was desperately seeking answers to why I was there and where I was going. And the Creator spoke to me and advised me to seek the counsel of a friend who knew him. I did, realized I'd been going in the wrong direction, and took a very robust decision to serve him. And in that process, he spoke to me audibly, as clearly as you can hear me now. So for me, it's actually very simple. Once he spoke to me, I knew he existed. The rest of the debate became irrelevant then. I accept that you've not necessarily had the privilege of that experience. But I would really like to think that if you really apply your mind to what I've shared in the last few minutes and what I shared at the towards the end of last week's program, you will reach the same conclusion. Going back to my experience in making that decision, I recognized that human beings had led me into error, and I could only rely on the one who had spoken to me. I also concluded that since I was an engineer and highly skeptical of the existence of the Creator up to that point, that he would not expect me to compromise my engineering training or my intellect in order to believe in him and serve him. He has proven to me that this is a valid position, and as a consequence, he has taught me a huge amount about himself and about the way things operate on the earth. Much of this is presented on my website at https://www.endtimeissueministries.org. I leave it up to you to deliberate on what I've set out. Ultimately, I have one piece of advice. If in this teaching I have at any level challenged you to question the possibility of the existence of the Creator, then I challenge you to find a quiet place. Get on your knees before him, humble yourself, and pray something like, Creator, this man James says that you exist and that you want a deep personal relationship with me. If this is so, please reveal yourself to me in a way that I can comprehend and take on board. And then see what happens. It may take some time for you to get into a place where you can receive the answer to that prayer. But be alert to what happens. And my entire experience of working with him for 25 years says that he will answer you provided you pray sincerely and not in arrogant defiance. So, what is in it for you? Why should you believe? Why should you seek a relationship with the Almighty Creator? Well, simply put, it's in your best interests for eternity. For the next few minutes while you listen to this message, please put aside everything you've heard about him, been taught about him, believed about him, and give me your undivided attention. Consider critically what I have to say, because once you get it, it makes perfect sense and it cannot be any other way. So if you believe, there is a hierarchy, a set of ranks in heaven with rewards that are directly proportionate to how you and I live our lives. If you really serve the Almighty faithfully and become his friend in this life, his agent and representative doing what he asks of you, you will qualify to sit on a high throne with him for eternity. This is a position of great honor and esteem and great power in heaven, and you will have that status for eternity. Now I suggest to your consideration that that is something that is worth working towards. That's something that's worth laying down your life for. Something that's worth putting in a few hours every day. On the other hand, if you at some level believe the Almighty exists or did at some time in your life, but you totally ignore him apart from that, you will find yourself at the opposite extreme, a place called the outer darkness, because it is pitch dark. It is also cold and a lonely place. The Almighty refers to it as the trash heap of heaven. Here, because you ignored the Almighty all your life, he will ignore you for eternity. You will have no contact with him, and you will have no access to the places of pleasure and privilege in heaven. Not a place, nice place to be. Now, I've come across some people who say, well, that's gross, that's ugly. How can you serve some being that does that sort of thing? Well, it's an interesting perspective. You know, should the created being question the hand of the one that created them? But let's answer that. When Father set about this whole creative process, he did not allow for people to sort of believe and then do nothing. He had a progression of places in the throne room for people who performed at different levels. But then he got people who didn't qualify to get into the throne room, and all he had left was the outer darkness outside the throne room. So it was not some ugly vicious, vindictive thing. It was just he didn't allow for people who just say, I believe. And one of the big evils of a lot of the modern churches today is that they have these crusades, they have these big rah-rah services, and people come to them and they respond to an altar call and they at some level believe. And then they're left on to their own devices, and they never get any further, and they end up in the outer darkness. And they think they're believers, but they're absolutely useless. If you're in that place, then I suggest it's time for you to get out of that place. So we have a continuum, a range, if you have at some level believed. So we've talked about the outer darkness, where the workers of iniquity go, as described above, the trash heap of heaven, totally disregarded, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Really ugly place to be, but you're in heaven. You just crossed the threshold, but not where you want to be. Then the foolish virgins, people who knew that the Almighty existed and served him at some elemental level, but failed to do his will, and most importantly, never invited him to live in them and fill them with his spirit. Most pew warmer churchgoers and mosque-goers and synagogue-goers and other types of meeting-goers will end up there. Remember that he created you to have a deep personal relationship with him, not a relationship with your church or your mosque or your synagogue or your pastor or your rabbi or your imam or your priest or your Bible or your Quran or whatever. Why spend so much time on those things and no time on him? Stop and think about it. It doesn't make sense. The forces of darkness are laughing at you if you've been putting a whole lot of effort into those things. If you don't have a relationship with Father, if you haven't made the effort to build a relationship with Father, how do you expect to have a decent place in heaven for eternity? It just doesn't make sense. Then we have the adulterous wives, people who've been filled with Father's Spirit at some level, but who then worship Jesus, the Bible, their church, the pastor, or similar, and they fail to worship Yah and have a relationship with him. So if you're somebody who worships Jesus and or worships the Bible or puts your pastor on a pedestal and really don't know Yah, don't know him personally, don't have a relationship with him, then you're an adulterous wife. And the name should tell you how Father views you. Not a good place to be. I certainly wouldn't like to reach the end of my life and be told, well, okay, you did believe at some level, you did go to church, you did do this, you did do that, so you make it into heaven, but you're going to sit with the adulterous wives because you were unfaithful. Not something I would like to have happen to me. We then get to those who perform at some level in this life. So the first category are the wise virgins, people who prepared themselves to serve the Almighty, received an infilling of his spirit, but not much more. They did something material to serve him, but they did not go far and did not commit deeply. Then we get the wise stewards, people who knew the Almighty existed and at some significant level used that knowledge wisely and responsibly. Then we get to the good and faithful servants, people who really made an effort to serve the Almighty within the constraints of what they felt capable of doing. And that brings us to the front of the throne room. Then we get the overcomers, those who actively sought to serve the Almighty, to conquer sin in their lives, to actively do what they were called to do, and in the process overcome all the obstacles. This is a place of high honor and power, the target to aim for if you're a high achiever. They sit on thrones, albeit the lower thrones. And then finally, the friends. This is first prize. This is what you were created to be. A friend of the Almighty, one who has dedicated their life to building relationship with the Almighty and doing His will on earth in this life. They sit on high thrones and have great authority and power. And I suggest for your consideration that if you can get a fix on this, read the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, and although it's got quite a bit of error in it, it graphically describes heaven and what I've just been talking about. It's worth going for, folks. It doesn't matter who you are, what your nation is, what your tribe is, what your skin color is, what your race is, what your level of education is. Father is looking for friends. Will you step out today and choose to seek to become His friend? It's going to take some hard work. It's going to take some dedication. It's going to take some effort. But it will be well worth it. I'm sure of that. With each step in the above progression, you will receive greater esteem and honor, higher rank, and greater authority and power in heaven. Remember what I said earlier. The Father said to me some years ago, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted. I would like to challenge you right now, whatever your current relationship with the Almighty, to lay it all aside and take a quality decision to seek to become His friend for eternity. There's much on the website to help you, and you're welcome to email me for guidance. I will do everything I possibly can to help anybody who makes this decision. James@endtimeissueministries.org. Please contact me. So we've talked about the levels of honor that are available to believers when they die. There's a catch, a place called hell, the place of correction where you will pay the price of unconfessed sin. The man Yeshua, you probably know him as Jesus, died to provide a simple and easy to apply mechanism for repenting of sin. To the extent that you avail yourself of this mechanism simply by praying sincerely, "Father, I confess that I've sinned," and describe what you've done. "I deeply repent. I choose to turn around. And in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to forgive me." Your sins are immediately dealt with as you deal with them. But insofar as Yeshua died a terrible death to provide the simple means of deliverance from sin, you will pay a terrible price for all the sin that you fail to confess and repent of in this life. Think about it. He hung on a stake, not a cross. He was flogged. Died in excruciating pain. Why do you think you can hold on to your sin and not confess your sin and get off scot-free? If you go back to a number of the previous teachings on judgment in this life and so forth, you will find a lot more about repentance, restitution, and so forth. It's a bit more complex than I've made it out to be here, but fundamentally, it's not difficult to get forgiveness of sin. But if you don't avail yourself of Yeshua's sacrifice, you are going to pay a horrible price in hell. Hell is And contrary to widespread belief, hell is not a place for unbelievers. It's for believers. It's a place where believers will be tormented and tortured in direct proportion to the severity and duration of every unconfessed sin at the moment of death. Visit the pages on hell on my website for a number of detailed accounts and paintings of what this place is like. If you're guilty of willful sin or blasphemy, there's another dimension to this. If you are a believer and are guilty of repeated willful sin, in other words, you keep doing something even though you know it is wrong, and you confess and repent and then do it again and again in a cavalier fashion, you will eventually reach a point where the Almighty says, enough, and rejects you. If he repeatedly asks you to do something and you refuse, he will also eventually reject you. If you blaspheme the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah, or Yah himself by calling him Satan or similar, he will also reject you. Don't say to somebody who is filled with the Spirit of Yah that they are being led by Satan. Don't go there. You could lose all hope of salvation. In this case, once you have been shown your sins, you will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where you will be utterly destroyed in a moment of torment and terror. Don't play games with sin. Don't play games with Yah. It's not worth it. Now, what if you don't believe? Well, that's fine, I hear you say, but I do not believe. Then what? Well, it is fairly obvious, is it not? The Almighty has said of you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? It is not about good. It is about relationship. If you do not believe the Creator exists, you commit the ultimate sin, unbelief, and you fail to qualify to compete in the race. So if you do not believe, no matter how good you are, no matter how many good works you have performed, no matter how much you have given to charity or even the church, you will not qualify to enter heaven. It is that simple and that brutal. Now, again, you may say, well, this is pretty silly. That's not fair. How can that be? Well, the answer to that lies in the context. Father's original intention was, A, that there wouldn't be anybody who didn't believe, and if they did, they would just be rejected and cast into the lake of fire and disposed of as failed experiments. He didn't bargain on the mess we've got today. So what will happen to you when you die as an unbeliever? Well, it so happens that there really are ancestor spirits, also known as demons. When you die, a messenger or angel will take you to the gates of the lake of fire and brimstone and explain to you that if the adversary, Satan, loses the contest, you will be cast into that fire, and in a moment of torment and terror, you will be utterly consumed by the fire and cease to exist. You will also be advised that should the adversary, Satan, win the contest, you will remain on earth for eternity as an ancestor spirit or demon, and that your calling is now to help the adversary to win. You will also be shown heaven, and it will be explained to you that by failing to believe, you have failed to qualify to enter heaven. It is likely that you will be extremely upset and angry or dismayed at this point. It will also be explained to you that in terms of the rules of engagement, you are not permitted to inform those that you have left behind of their error, and that you will suffer grievous punishment if you break this law. Certain other rules will be explained. You will also be advised that you now report to the Council of the Masterminds, the demonic junta that rules the earth in association with the adversary Satan, who, as I said earlier, is currently in the pit for 1,000 years, and that you will be brutally tortured if you step out of line. But if you promote the agenda of the satanic realm, you will be rewarded with promotion and positions of greater power, authority, and evil. But keep in mind that the positions of high rank in the satanic hierarchy have long since been filled, and there's over 100 billion demons on the planet today. You will then be returned to your corpse. If you've died in a remote area, your spirit will remain at the place of death forever, or until an agent of the adversary collects you. Ancestor spirits are human spirits. They need a human body or animal to ride on, or they need a messenger or angel to transport them. But there are not enough messengers to go around, so they only transport ancestor spirits if commanded to do so, and there's a lot of competition for them. If you do not have such transport, you risk being left in your coffin with your bones on the floor of the ocean, or entombed in lava in the case of a volcano, etc. Not a nice prospect. You could spend a very, very, very long time in some very, very, very uncomfortable places if you die as an unbeliever. If you die in a place of habitation, you may manage to transfer yourself onto a family member when they embrace your corpse, or a witch or other Satan servant in the hospital mortuary crematorium may collect you, take you into stock like cattle, send you on orientation programs, and assign you to some human being to lead into deeper sin and error. You can't see it, but the satanic and demonic realm is a strongly organized, very harsh spirit environment. Many people have all sorts of theories about conspiracies. The real conspiracy is what the seven demonic masterminds and the 100 billion demons have in mind in order to defeat Yah in the contest. As with heaven, there's a progression of rank associated with power and authority and prestige in the satanic realm. See the tab, Where Are You Going, on the website for information, more information if this interests you. But quite frankly, I don't see why you would want to know about that. You don't want to be going there. Frankly, if right now you're an unbeliever, I would encourage you, as soon as this program is over, to get on your knees and pray the prayer that I gave you a few minutes ago. If you're thinking that maybe this is not such a bad deal, then I would suggest for your consideration that you should be aware that high rank in the kingdom of the adversary is associated with gross evil, human sacrifice, drinking human blood, torture, etc. So if you regard yourself as a good person, expect to find that the place of unbelief is an uncomfortable place to spend eternity. Should Satan win the contest, and right now he's winning hands down, then he will reign on earth for eternity, and you will serve him on earth for eternity. Expect to see the world degenerate into the worst excesses of the Dark Ages, Africa, primitive tribes, and you will have no option but to participate in whatever manner is dictated to you. There's an added catch. Should the adversary win, the Almighty Creator Yah will withdraw totally from earth. He will withdraw his universal spirit, and all life will cease. So unless you have progressed to a sufficiently senior position in the hierarchy to have your own messenger or angel to transport you, you will be stuck in the location where the corpse of your host fell, and you will stay there forever. Not an attractive prospect to my way of thinking. You might even decide to tell humans the truth, despite the penalties that await you. Frankly, I think this is far worse than a lot of the other stories that have been concocted over the years. This is what it's really like. It's brutal. It's harsh. And again, you can say, well, why did the Almighty do this? Well, he had no intention of this. He was just going to take any rejects and cast them into the fire, the incinerator, and get rid of them. And he was about to do that with Satan when Satan challenged him to the contest. And we've talked about that in previous programs. right now the key thing is, as a consequence of this, we have this situation. Not because Father set out to make it this way, but that's just the way things have worked out. So to wrap up, recap, we've looked at continuing with regard to proof of creation and looked at sexual reproduction. We've concluded that there has to be a creator. We've looked at what's in it for you if you believe, and what is in it for you if you don't believe. I would stress again that a friend earnestly, intentionally, and actively seeks relationship and cares deeply for their friend. See the article behind the home tab on the top left of the website menu for more information. I'd like to refer you to four key documents on the website. The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You is a 16-page document which I am progressively presenting to you on this program. We've gone through two-thirds of that document in the last two sessions, and hopefully next week I will take you through the remainder of that document. But you can go and get the whole document on the website now. Hover your mouse over the home tab in the top left-hand corner of the website menu, and you will see a drop-down where you will find this and the other articles I'm about to talk about. The second article is Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator. This is about a 70-page ebook, which is designed to help you from the moment that you pray that prayer that I gave you earlier and say, Father, I want to become your friend. This will show you how to clean up your life, the prayers to pray, the worship songs to sing, the processes and rituals to go through to clean up your life and come to a place of close relationship. Clearly, a book can't tell you everything. I hope it will lay a foundation and help you to get there. Ultimately, your journey will be your journey alone, and Father will help you as soon as you start asking Him to help you. The third article, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. As you grow in the things of the Almighty, if you want to understand the importance of the name of Yah and how it permeates the Bible and the history of mankind, you will find this article of interest. It's also effectively an ebook. The fourth article, Where Will You Spend Eternity? What is required in order to sit on a high throne for eternity? This builds on some of the things that I've talked about here, and certainly is worth reading. There's a number of things in terms of process and prayer which give you guidance as to how to live this life. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org behind the homepage menu item in the top left-hand corner. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org, one word. Books of teachings and regular email articles are available. I publish an email article generally at least once a week. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be put on the mailing list or to find out about other material. And visit the website and visit the homepage for more information. So in closing, thank you for listening. I hope you found this valuable. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them in my next broadcast. Please email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to join the mailing list. I'm compiling a collection of my writings. Email me if you would like to obtain a copy. The first volume contains my most important writings, including those that have just been listed and quite a few others. If you do decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype and email, so that I can help you with your journey. I would love to hear from you if in response to this program, you have decided to draw close to Father. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Creator. And I say again, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a sinner or a saint. It doesn't matter what you've been doing in your life to this moment. It doesn't matter your race, your education, your age. If you right now decide a quality decision to seek to become a friend of the Creator, He will do everything possible to help you. You need to do the work. You need to get the articles. You need to do the reading. You need to do the praying. You need to do the fasting. You need to do the worshiping. But He will meet you, and it will be worth it. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.